Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Phil Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Want to call us? Want to text us? 312-981-7200. We'll get that done. Hi, Wendy.
Top of the morning to you, Bill. Getting ready for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. Right around the corner.
Yes, it is.
Last night on the HBO, they put together a documentary, part one of a documentary called Finding Neverland, about allegations against the king, the king of pop, Michael Jackson. I know you watched it. I know you're brimming with ideas, thoughts. Go ahead, please.
Why do you put all the pressure on me?
Because I just want to nod. I just want to hear what you say, and I just want to nod.
All right. Prior to this special, I'm one of the only people in the world that thought Michael Jackson was asexual and didn't have a childhood, so the playing with toys and cuddling was innocent.
I know two people of that thought, you and somebody else who used to work here. Is that the same person you're thinking
of? Well, Jerry Wells used to work. Yes.
Yeah, she used to work here.
Yes. I knew her from the Loop days,
too. She also worked there. But she's of that same mindset of Michael Jackson would never harm a child. That's not going to happen. And you have said on many occasions you don't believe it. So last night you watched the documentary and...
I'm starting to believe it. I'm not 100% convinced.
What was not said or done yesterday that would have convinced you?
I'm just puzzled by these two gentlemen that have come forward, and I believe them.
Change your mind?
I mean, I'm more towards believing them. There are just many questions I have. The main one being,
yeah,
I really try my best to be a great parent, and I don't know that I succeed, but I really try. Both of these moms allowed their children to hang with an older man, granted that man being Michael Jackson. One, at 7 years of age, left him for a week while the family took a vacation to the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't leave a seven-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
I mean, you just normally you don't. Wouldn't.
Don't you think, and they both kind of alluded to this, both moms kind of alluded, they were so swept up in the revelry of what was going on, the improbability that their child could be friends with Michael Jackson, who was so... You can't even measure his popularity at that stage of the game. And I don't remember when he was at his peak of popularity. I don't remember the allegations then at that point. They came a little bit later.
Yeah.
So maybe they were just so swept up in it. I kind of see that. I don't agree with it, but I can kind of see where they'd be blind to it, just going, well, Michael Jackson's like a child himself.
You can't be blind as a parent. I think these moms especially, as one left her husband and one had marital problems, they were reaping the benefits of this as well.
Sure.
Wait, are we talking about whether these kids had bad parents or whether Michael Jackson was a molester?
It's kind of both,
it's
actually.
One hinges on the other.
It's one story against another story. I could be mistaken, but I thought I heard somewhere that one of these individuals said years ago when that molestation trial was going on that Michael Jackson did not molest him.
One of the parents from last
night?
No,
one of the gentlemen, one of the guys, one of the victims. Oh. Now, I could be wrong. I will look into that.
Right.
I get blurbs of information everywhere, and I could have sworn. Macaulay Culkin still says he was not sexually abused.
As does Corey Feldman, who also had a friendship when he was a child and Michael was an adult. And Corey Feldman has been adamant that there are plenty of people in show business that have done horrible, horrible things, but Michael Jackson is not one of them. That's his side of the story, and Macaulay Culkin's side of the story.
And there was one other kid, I don't know if this was the Martin Bashir interview guy, but some other name, and I can't remember, was a little script at the end saying Macaulay Culkin and so-and-so.
Oh, it's the other Australian kid who they show at the very end.
Oh, right.
They showed him at the very end, too. You know how we've always been told from various sources regarding his innocence or guilt that Michael just liked to cuddle with kids, that he didn't really see it as a sexual thing. He just, because he was so childish in his own right, he just thought that that was what you did. Well, I think last night disproved that, because he went through great paces to warn them what could happen, that they could both, they'd be split up, that he and whatever boy he was with at the time would be split up, that they would both go to jail, that they could never be friends again or see each other again. They had drills. They talked about drills that Michael would establish with these kids where
a bell would ring.
Was coming, you got to get dressed quick. And
there
stuff
was a
like
bell that.
That
would be tripped. So yeah. They would have. I know there are some weird things. And one of the weirdest takeaways was Michael Jackson coming to that one kid's house and just hanging out.
All the time.
That was weird.
And his notes, like his constant faxes. And his. They're, for people
little
who have
one.
Not seen it. Yeah. Oh. There's this really eerie birthday video that he sends one of the boys where he keeps professing his love for him. I mean, it was weird from minute one to minute last, and part two of the weirdness will continue tonight. But I've always believed that part one, maybe he didn't know quite what was right and what was wrong, and that went out the window yesterday. That he fully knew what was right and what was wrong, according to what I saw yesterday. It was so hard to watch.
It was really
and
hard
yet
to watch.
You couldn't stop watching.
I know.
Because you just went, how could something so horrendous have gone on? I mean, you could say that about many of the stories that we've talked about, the R. Kelly thing. How could that have gone on for as long? Somebody must have understood that something horrible was happening. With Michael Jackson, there were people all over the place at this ranch, at the Neverland Ranch. It was highly staffed with people who had to know things were going on.
Well, they weren't in the room.
They weren't in the room, but you could just see by the body language how weird and twisted it was.
I would have liked to have been invited to Neverland Ranch. They had a game room where you could just turn the lights on.
I know, but look at the trade-off.
Come on, this guy exuded weirdness.
He was a very...
The weirdest guy on the planet.
Yes.
Everything he did was bizarre.
Yeah.
So I don't know why anything would surprise you, Wendy. I mean, he was just the most bizarre guy ever.
So you try to figure out, like, if you're these parents, the pros and cons of those twisted friendships. You know,
you don't let a kid hang out with an adult. I don't care if it's Michael Jackson. Listen, I really try my best to be a good parent, and I make mistakes. I get it.
Right.
But listening to these moms talk about it, and a grandma, which was a crazy shot. It was like from the ground up to her recliner. It was a weird shot. It was bugging me.
It could have been centered a little better.
But they all believed, you know, well, we didn't think anything about it. And I'm anxious, and I hope in part two they have the parents' version. The molestation was not brought up by either parent at part one. I want to hear their take on this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's opened my eyes to, you know, I want to believe the victims. That's what I will say.
Sure. Absolutely.
And now we're getting texts saying that both of these victims denied it in the past on his last molestation thing. And then you start to wonder, and darn you, Jussie Smollett, see what happens where you doubt people.
So then
these people wanted to be famous, the one right. In the Pepsi commercial and the other one who completely idolized him and had at one point said, you know, I was looking forward to being with him again. And, you know, he was like in love.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know,
I don't think he was like in love. I think he was in love. I really do.
Yes. And, you know, I haven't heard of I remember that Pepsi commercial completely.
Yeah, me too.
But I hadn't thought of that kid or heard from that kid before. Now they're in the spotlight again.
Yeah.
I mean, if it happened, it's terrible. And yes, Michael Jackson was a completely crazy, eccentric goofball.
But weren't there other cases of people who settled out of court where they threw people a ton of money to just go away quietly?
I don't know how many there were, but there were some for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just bizarre, and I can't wait to hear Oprah's take on this. She will be talking to both of the alleged victims.
She says, Oprah, well, I'll tell you what Oprah says in a minute, because Oprah has a comment about tonight's Q&A that will follow part two of the documentary on a different, I don't think it's on HBO. I think the Oprah portion is on her network, on OWN.
Well, of course, it's on her OWN.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to bring the viewers in.
I guess. Yeah, that's a strange deal. You would think if you were HBO, you go, let's simulcast this.
Oh, that's a good idea. But then who'd switch channels?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. More of your thoughts. What are your thoughts
yes,
on last
please.
Night's special on the documentary Finding Wonderland? It's Bill and Wendy, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in. It's WGN. Well, you have to have a pretty strong stomach to watch it, but boy, is it it's so interesting, start to finish. After Neverland is the name of the documentary. Two of the accusers who said that years ago Michael Jackson sexually molested them over a series of years, not just once or twice, but often. Horrible, horrible story. People are criticizing Oprah Winfrey. They haven't even shown her part of the special yet. She's going to interview the two men after the part two of the special tonight. Oprah says, "I'm going to get it," she told Variety. "This movie transcends Michael Jackson. It allows us to see societal corruption. Beware of people who just want to be around your children," she says.
And listen, I'm not blaming anyone, and my hearts go out to the victims, and it's a terrible tragedy is yes. what it is.
Yes.
And, you know, I know as a parent, you make the right decisions and try your best. I'm not blaming anyone, but it's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. Can you imagine leaving your girls at 7 years of age with someone that...
that you only knew for a few hours.
And a celebrity, you don't know their true self. I mean...
their justification for it last night was, we felt like we knew him. He was always on our TV, and he was the most famous guy. He was the most famous guy in the world at that point.
You're right.
So they felt like they knew him.
Even less reason to leave your kids with them, though. That when the one kid was on tour with them and was dancing and coming up on all the stages and dancing, mm-hmm. just the people surrounding the limos with that guy in the top hat who was always there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary.
It's a circus.
Yeah, but I just feel that was too much for a kid at that age to deal with. I know the moms were around for most of this, but they weren't in that limo.
Right. Right. He was almost masterful at figuring out ways to separate the kids from their families.
Yeah, that bothered me, too.
He would take for people.
Women are bad.
It. Yeah, that was an underlying theme in his speeches to these boys, that women were bad and not to be trusted.
I thought he had such a great relationship with his mom. Not his dad. I know he...
Joe Jackson. Yeah.
Abused Michael physically.
Yeah. There's stories that were told yesterday about how he would take them shopping, and the kids would say, you know, usually if you go to a toy store, somebody says, pick something out. When Michael would take you shopping for clothes, for toys, for whatever, he'd say, pick everything out, whatever you want. Just put it in a cart. Take a cart, fill it to the top. Wow. So you could see where kid would just be so... thrown by, wow, the rules are different now. The guy lives in an amusement park, he's got a monkey, he takes me toy shopping.
Right.
Wow.
And that's an innocent child, just like, wow, this kid's giving me everything. And
right.
And I just feel that's where a parent's job is to come in and say, okay, something's... The weirdest thing was Michael, you know, the one mom was saying, yeah, I went and picked him up, and, you know, he came back to our house, he was like my other son.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was a grown man.
Yeah, so at some point, don't you go, this is weird. I mean, I'm loving to reap all these benefits, but this is odd.
Yes. Yes. I would say that often. I would have a family meeting, minus Michael, and say, look, as glamorous as this all is, it's not going to end well. It can't possibly end well. Grown men and little boys, with the exception of Clutch Cargo. Very rarely.
That was even weird.
Even that was a little weird. Yeah, okay, I will give you that one too.
I believe the victims, and, you know, it is a hard watch. You said it definitely.
It's so hard to watch, you know, because it's because you, all throughout, through every minute of it, you go, where was the line? There must have been a line somewhere where somebody said, Michael, now you've crossed the line. You can't do that. What you're doing must be stopped. But that never happened. And I guess it's because he was so rich and powerful that no one had the guts to do that.
Somebody texted, and this is an interesting way to think about it. Take away his money and fame. How would everyone judge a person who acts like that, who doesn't have fame and fortune? If it was just some guy who wanted to hang out with your kid,
right?
You wouldn't let him.
Right. But you almost can't separate, because he was who he was. Immensely talented, yes. But crazy beyond compare. But so you're trying to figure that out. Well, why would he risk it all to do something so horrible? He wouldn't risk it all, would he? Yep, he did.
Well, and if he had his staff members, which I think has been implied, that kind of covered for him, I think that's Oprah's angle on this.
Yeah.
And there was one point of the documentary where they sent a camera crew to kind of audition this kid, and he says, as an adult, you know, I guess now that I think about it, was that an audition tape? It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But then he did have kids up on stage dancing and performing with him.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, you're right. I'm sorry. The cuddling is weird, and the letting someone hang out, you know, and play games all day, and you're being a kid with them, that's all weird. But once it crosses the line into something else, it's inexcusable.
That's what I'm saying. So whose job was it to determine what that line was and to say, well, now we've gone too far. We must stop. You know, I know the parents were so happy for their kids that they were being recognized by him. I get that, but then you have to hopefully let some kind of common sense take over and go, yeah, but the guy's in his 30s, my kid's 7, that's not a friendship that's meant to be.
The 7-year-old is really what turned me over last night, just saying, you know, yeah, I believe this. A 7-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough, 14-year-old, but 7, I can't get that out of my mind.
Right, yeah. All right, part 2 is tonight, and then Oprah Winfrey will talk to both guys. And I don't know if their families are involved in this part of it. Do you? I don't know who exactly.
No, but don't you want to hear what their parents have to say? Like, did the kids eventually tell the parents, look, this is what's going on?
I imagine that's part of the narrative.
I'd like to see that part of it.
I do, too. I would imagine that would have to be part of it, because in the stories that were told yesterday, they almost have a fond remembrance of it all.
All of them, and even both victims who were describing things were saying, you know, there was no, I didn't feel in danger.
Yeah.
It was gentle.
Yeah.
You know,
at first.
Yes.
Until they got to be older.
Yeah. It's just really terrible.
It's so creepy.
And like the R. Kelly thing, you know, now that that's been brought to light, this might need to be brought to light too and revisited.
No doubt about it. All right, we'll take a break. Some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I am at cameo.com right now looking at whom I can hire, pay a small amount. Gilbert Gottfried, for instance, if I spend $150.
Bargain at $150.
It totally is. I can have him record a birthday message for you.
That would be a steal at $150.
It really is. He should charge more. This is all at cameo.com, and the co-founder and CEO of Cameo, Stephen Galanis, is with us. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We were talking about cameo.com, and we were making fun of some of the people on there. I'm sorry. What a great idea. This is your baby?
Yes, it is.
All right. So how did this begin where all of a sudden you can get a celebrity to record a video for you for a price?
So we have this idea that selfies are the new autographs. So when you see somebody famous, people come up and don't pull out the Sharpie anymore. Now they want to take a selfie, put it on Instagram. And we were really trying to figure out a way that could help fans connect with talent at scale, especially if they're not there. So no matter what price you're talking about, it's still a bargain when you think of how you would do this outside of us, which is impossible.
Right? Exactly.
Like, unless
no
you
access.
Happen to run into someone on Michigan Avenue and then, you know, actually have the balls to go up to them and then they actually say yes.
Yeah.
And you think of that perfect person. It's a pretty stressful experience when you see people in scale. It's also stressful for the talent too, right? When a random fan walks up on them at a restaurant and this is a great way that we've been able to create a new way for them to monetize their social, and it's been an incredible way for fans to connect with their favorite people at scale.
About a month ago, a sponsor of ours, we had a meeting with a sponsor of ours, and he was talking about when he started up his business, he went to you guys and got a celebrity that he liked to mention his business and talk about his business, and then they put that video on his website. And he said people were amazed. They thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I never
genius.
Heard of anything like that. It's genius.
So that's how you guys found out about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
and
also,
then he said, he goes, you guys should do it. And then we all had a good hearty chuckle.
Well, you guys should get on. We'll sign you up after.
All right.
I'm doing it. I don't care about you, Bill. Yeah,
right.
I'll do it. I just have to say, Mindy Cohen, $50.
That's not bad.
From different stroke, or yeah. From Facts of Life.
From Facts of Life.
I'm
Natalie.
Yes, Phil Lamar, voice actor, Pulp Fiction, $50.
Uh huh.
This is a steal. Actually, I have a
coupon from the Penny Saver, so I get another dollar off.
Stephen Galanis is with us. I know you've been on the Wintrust Business Lunch. You've been on various shows here. I have to tell you, Steve Bertrand is totally guilty of this. I don't know if he's in the new studio right now. There have been people who have come up on our show, and I see him. This is when we were at the other place. Mm-hmm. He'd say, oh, my son loves you. Could you record a little video?
Yep.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's brave of him. I had Colin Jost do that for one of my sons,
yeah.
But everybody wants that. So this is where you go to cameo.com.
And look, you guys have unique access to that, having talent walking through the studio, where the average person, there's just no way that they can do it. And really, taking it back to our founding story, my co-founder got a video recorded for his buddy Brandon. Brandon was a marketing executive at Nike who loves the Seattle Seahawks more than anything on earth.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Martin was an NFL agent and repped a Seattle Seahawk.
Mm-hmm.
He got this guy to send a 10-second video saying, hey, Brandon, congratulations on your son, Maverick. This is Cassius Marsh from the Seattle Seahawks. I heard if he gets your athletic ability, he'll be playing for the Seahawks one day. Go Hawks.
That's
and
awesome.
This guy put it on Instagram, and he said it was the best gift he'd ever got in his life.
Oh, that's so nice.
And this is somebody that, you know, works with Michael Jordan and LeBron and Kyrie and all the biggest stars.
Yeah.
But it was that personalized message and that authenticity that really made it special.
How, with the roster of talent, let's say all of a sudden there's an outcry for somebody in particular. All right. Do you approach them? How exactly do you wrangle these people into being a part of the roster?
So today we have over 10,000 different talent on the platform in basically any vertical that you could imagine.
Sports stars, TV stars, movie stars,
Ruth
singers,
Buzzy, for
politicians.
God's sakes.
Ruth Buzzy.
Runs the gamut.
Yeah.
And the way that we... The number one way that we find out who to get when people come to our website, cameo.com, and they type in a name that we don't have, they can actually submit their email and let us know to let them know when we get that person.
Mm-hmm.
Then our team here in Chicago and in LA will go and reach out to that person any way that they can to try to get them on the site, and then email the people that have requested them to say, hey, this person that you requested is on the site now.
Who are you amazed that you have? What's the name that you go, wow, I can't believe they're part of this?
Brett Favre has been one that's been really cool, and I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last, Monday last week, I was throwing footballs with him in Miami. It's unbelievable.
Name dropper.
Antonio Brown, we just signed up this week, who's a top five player in the NFL. I'm a sports guy, so that's always huge for me, but Brian Urlacher, I mean, so many of the people, Michael Vick, T.O., so many of the people that like I grew up, you know, particularly loving. Jeremy Roenick is another one.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, I'm a hockey guy, so getting...
Who don't you have that you really want, but they're just not there yet?
I think Chance the Rapper would be just incredible for Cameo.
Yeah.
I think like Obama or Trump would be unbelievable. Like you could imagine how much either of them would love doing this. But literally, we want everybody.
All right. So we were talking earlier. We watched this Michael Jackson special last night. Part two is tonight on HBO. And we mentioned Corey Feldman. He is on Cameo. We also were talking about Macaulay Culkin. And actually, Stephen, I'm looking it up. And Macaulay Culkin is not here, but I can submit my email or tweet at Macaulay Culkin to join Cameo. So it's that simple. And if he decides to... Then he can, like, if there's enough interest and it's worth his while.
Sure. And the other, just to answer your question from before, how we get them. So, number one, we'll reach out to talent when people ask. And then we also have an idea of people that would be good. So, like, I was at NBA All-Star Game, saw Charles Barkley. We have pretty high conviction that someone like Charles Barkley would do great on the platform. Secondly, we have a talent-to-talent referral system. So, if Corey Feldman referred Macaulay Culkin, that's another way that we get talent on. And then third, we've started doing some strategic partnerships with brands like NBC Universal, and the MLBPA is a new one that we're getting ready to kick off, where, you know, they're helping us get talent on.
Macaulay Culkin should do it. He's home by himself. He's got nothing but time. What's he thinking?
Well, it really has
families to, in Europe. He's got the whole house.
It really
to
has to do with how much they want to engage with their fans or not at the end of the day, right? So if you're not someone that's active on social media today, it's probably not going to be a great fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that said, people like Bobby Hall, who don't have any social at all, you know, have been on Cameo and love making the videos because, you know, for they love interacting with their fans, and ultimately that's what we enable.
Let's say you're a celebrity and you're on it and your asking price is $100. What cut of that do you get? What cut of that do they get?
Every single talent is on the same financial split with us. It's a 75% to the talent and 25% to Cameo.
All right.
Now, the one thing is if a talent refers somebody else, then they would get 5% of that person's bookings for 1 year out of Cameo's cut. So in that case, it would be 75 to the talent, 20 to Cameo, and 5% to the refer.
That's pretty cool. Hold your thought. Stephen Galanis is with us, co-founder and CEO of Cameo. You can go to cameo.com and find out. There's someone I think you'll be very interested in, but we have to take a quick break, and then we will return and talk cameo.com. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right. Cameo CEO, co-founder Stephen Galanis is with us. And I'm listening to your answers, but I am having so much fun looking at cameo.com. The Crypt Keeper. I can get you a message from John Kassir, the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, that'd be fun.
$50. How do they decide on a rate here?
So the way that we started early, as you could first imagine, when we came up with this concept, nobody had any idea how we should price it.
Right.
So we came up with this thing called earnings per minute, where we would tell people to take their total comp, divide by 2,000 hours in a work year, 40-hour weeks, and divide that by 60, and then find out how much money they make per minute. So for example, if you were making $25 million a year, you actually make $208 a minute.
Uh-huh.
On Cameo, you can do 2 to 3 videos per minute. So we would tell people, if you're $100 or $200, you're actually making as much, if not more money, than you would be playing in the NBA or being an actor or anything
like that.
And then at this point, now that we have 10,000 people on the platform, it's almost become like real estate, right? So many of our people do exactly what you guys are doing. They're browsing, they're looking at similar talent, and they're making that determination. This is a great deal. This person's too expensive. And just like if you were listing your condo in Chicago and said, I need $5 million for it, but your next door neighbor just sold for $2 million, nobody's buying your thing.
Ah.
So then my team here uses the analytics on the back end to look at conversion rates to take it back to the talent and say, hey, you know what? You look a lot like these three people. They're doing really well at this price point. Why don't you try it out?
What a great idea, Bill. The unknown comic is on here.
Murray Langston?
It doesn't say Murray Langston, so how
That's
do I
him.
Know it's the unknown comic?
Ah. He's got a bag on his head.
Could be $40.
An unknown comic impersonator. Do they always record it on their phones, or does somebody go the extra mile and actually do a camera setup when they do these?
Some do, but we built it so they can do it on their phones. A very early decision we made was to go for authenticity versus high quality, which doesn't necessarily seem like it would be a huge trade-off, but if you could think of making every video high quality, that would be putting them in a studio with lights and all that
right.
stuff. Authentic is sometimes they're driving in their car, they're in the locker room, or, you know, Kaplan will do them in the
David
most
Kaplan.
David Kaplan.
What's his rate? It's too high.
Cap, sometimes he's in Lake Geneva on his boat. Other times he's like at Wrigley.
I'm in Lake Geneva, Wendy, and it's ridiculous.
That's a pretty good.
Give me my money.
That's pretty good. That was pretty good.
I'm a Dave Kaplan impersonator.
Yeah.
That's such a great idea because it's easy for everybody.
We really wanted to make it not only easy, but we wanted the experience on the talent side to be so delightful that they would do it for free, but they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Who was your first person to sign on?
The very first person we had on Cameo was Cassius Marsh of the Seattle Seahawks at the time. And the interesting thing about Cash was probably the 15th best Seattle Seahawks defender. So he's not a superstar, but he's someone that, you know, if you love the Seahawks, it's exciting to hear it. Just like if any random bear walked in and you met him, you'd be excited to meet any random bear. It doesn't have to be Mitch Trubisky or Brian Urlacher, some superstar. And really, when you think about the NFL especially, the average player only plays 2.5 years, so they have a really short career window. And this is a way for them to
supplement
help bridge
their
that
income.
Gap and help bridge that gap between how famous they are and their inability to monetize, right? People aren't giving endorsement deals to the 15th best player, but the fans would clearly pay for that experience.
You know who impressed us, Stephen, is Jeffrey Ross, who most people I think would know. He's always the Toastmaster on all those celebrity toasts on Comedy Central, celebrity roasts. So he, you could tell, wrote material. He got all the specifics about the people because there's samples there if you go to cameo.com. He got specific examples about this person and wrote jokes specifically for that person. That was impressive. He just was really just talking. He thought it out.
Totally. And we've seen musicians write, you know, personalized songs.
Really?
And at scale, what we're building here is the marketplace where for X amount of money, you can do Y activity with Z person.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided to start with these little short videos, the cameo video, which is an amazing experience in and on itself, but in the future, that might be paying to go throw a football with Brett Favre or having your favorite comedian roast your buddy, right? Like, these are all the types of things at scale we'd like to do.
Excellent.
Doesn't it show you that anything can be done, but at a price?
Yeah.
We mentioned Ruth Buzzi because we're big fans. Here's an example of what Ruth Buzzi could do for you.
Hello, Jamie. It's your old friend from television, Ruth Buzzi. Remember me, the sex symbol from Rowan Martin's Laughing and the Dean Martin Roasts and many other shows? Your brother Tad tells me you could have made it in show business as a comedian. After 50 years on the tube, I really honestly have had enough. I'm enjoying my life after the career. It helps me focus on my drinking. I started out on beer, migrated over to wine, and now it's whiskey and ginger ale. And pretty soon, I'm probably going to drop the ginger ale.
$150
for Ruth Buzzi.
But I mean, that, you know, how awesome was that?
That was excellent.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, to keep in mind is that every single person has a different person that they really care about.
Sure.
So, for example, I'm a hockey player. I grew up here. Eddie Belfour was my idol.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if Eddie Belfour said something to me, like, that was the guy that made me want to be a goalie.
Yeah.
I played through college, right? So, in that case, Eddie is probably a lot more accessible than so many other people, but like to me, he matters a lot.
Yeah.
And that's really what we were trying to knock on here, is to help anybody enable their fans to connect with them at scale.
What's the next level of this? I'm sure you've thought this out, that there's something that's going to be bigger and better than this. What do you
think?
Dinner
with the person.
Dinner with the person.
I mean, whether it's live events or FaceTime or anything like that, there's a million things we can do. What we're hyper-focused on right now is really building out our talent roster. We think there's over 5 million people in the world that could be on Cameo.
Yeah.
We have 10,000 right now, so it's the top of the second inning here. We're really focused on international expansion. 30% of our business is already coming from abroad, but that's mostly foreign people booking American stars. So now we're really excited to build out our capacities in London and Australia, all over the world, to make sure that the talent that those people want are on Cameo as well. So that's really next to us, and really building this team out. We're in the process of expanding our team here in Chicago and LA from 50 people right now to about 150 by the end of the year.
And
we're hiring like crazy.
And excellent. I mean, think about it. These people who send a video are going to be put on social media. So someone you haven't thought about in a while, that's all of a sudden exposure for them. For instance, Bruce Valanche. I haven't thought about
joke
him.
Joke writer, comedian.
But I only remember him from Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
$50.
Well, and that's why the value prop is so strong for both the talent and the fan. The talent is getting paid to become more popular. Andy Dick was in our office around Christmas. And one thing he told me is, he goes, "Steven, you have given us the Andy Dick Show back." You know, I get to be the director and the producer and the costume and the makeup and all that type of stuff. And he's like, "You are giving me a way to give me my show back."
Excellent.
And that was something that was really special for us to hear.
And then he bit you.
he's
a little caustic.
He bit my mom, but you know.
Something in the family.
He's Stephen Galanis, co-founder and CEO of Cameo. Look around, browse around, and then hire someone. It's fun. It's cool. It's cameo.com. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you guys for having me.
Nice to meet you, Stephen. Good luck with this.
Nice to meet you guys, too.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. Steve, thanks. It's us. It's Bill Leffitt. It's Wendy Snyder. Did you know, Wendy, that it's the city of Chicago's birthday? Did you know that?
I I saw it written in one article. Why isn't it being blasted all over the place?
Well, I know that museums are doing nice things to celebrate the birthday. And
it's all over social media.
Is it? Yeah? What are they saying about it?
Happy birthday. Different pictures, stuff like that. Yeah.
And how old is it, Jasmine, the city of Chicago?
It's the nine... When is the birthday?
Oh, here's the birthday song. Everybody in Chicago sing.
Happy birthday, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, 182 years or something like that.
Is it 182?
It's up there.
Looks good for 182.
I love that. No, it doesn't really look that good.
You don't think it does?
I don't know what it is. It's good days
and bad
days.
Looks like it's lost a couple pounds.
Mm. You're right. It's 182.
182.
How about that? I read
blink.
One article.
And you remembered.
I did blink. Happy birthday, Chicago.
Yeah. Wendy, I have found some things. These are fun facts about the city of Chicago.
Love it.
Which it says here, did you know that it was known as the Windy City? Did you know that? It says it right here on the fun facts.
Yes, but not for the wind, for politicians' sakes. Like,
isn't that
you
fun?
Know, a lot of hot air. Isn't that true?
It is true.
Okay, because everybody thinks, like on a windy day, everybody's like, well, it's a windy city. That's not why.
No, that's not why at all. I'm going to throw in my own fun fact. It's not on the list. I don't see it on the fact. But Chi-Town... It is never called that by anyone who lives anywhere near Chicago, ever. Even though in any movie about Chicago or commercial, somebody comes in and goes, what is Chi-Town like on its pizza? Don't. We don't call it that, ever.
Yeah, I agree with you. Does it mean stinky onion?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, wild garlic or onion field. It says the name Chicago comes from the Algonquin word Chicago. Bill Curtis named it many years ago. Chicagou, Chicago. Or, I don't know how you'd say this, Chikaakwa, Chicagua. And those two words. How do you say it?
Spell it again.
Chikaa.
Chikaa.
Kakukwa.
Chikakakwa? Hey.
Those names mean that David and I are doofuses. Also, onion field or wild garlic.
Yeah, so wild garlic, stinky onion, I've heard, because that's...
You've heard that, right?
Although garlic and onion are technically a little different.
If you're planning a road trip, the infamous Route 66 starts here in Chicago.
I say route for everything except Route 66 because of the song.
Oh, I guess.
Get my kicks on Route 66.
Yeah. Here's one that we all know because we live here.
Route 66?
I don't know. Is this a trivia question?
Yeah.
When do
the
you'll
Stones
find the answer?
Sang
he's
it.
Not. He's not. No. Well, that, they were not the first to record it. But the person who wrote it was not really known as a musician. He was known more as an actor.
Oh.
Think back to the 70s television series.
Earl Holliman.
Emergency.
Oh, Randolph Mantooth.
New.
Bobby Darin. Bobby Troop.
Yes.
I was off by one Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, we already knew this because we live here. The Field Museum owns the world's most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex, and its name is?
Sue.
Absolutely.
But I thought she was taken down.
Oh, did they take her down?
I think she was just moved.
Oh, she wasn't. She's not out in front. Yeah.
I think they just moved her somewhere else in the building.
Bobby Troop, you're right. What year was it written? Trivia.
I don't know the answer to that.
46.
Wow.
Okay.
Good call. The Chicago River flows backwards. You know that if you ever took a field trip anywhere near the Chicago River, they point that out to you.
Because of the locks.
Because of the locks and the bagels. In the late 19th century, the river was reversed so that it could empty into the Mississippi River instead of Lake Michigan. Boy, how would you even start to think of a way to do that?
Because engineers are special people.
Boy, they'd have to be. I know that it does that, and I don't understand how. Chicagoans cannot resist messing around with their river, it says here. Oh, I didn't know this, Wendy. Did you know that on St. Patrick's Day, they dye it a bright shade of Irish green? I didn't know that.
It is pretty. I mean, it's green if you look now. It's green.
It's always green. They just make it a different shade of green.
It's way brighter.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Looks like toxic waste green, almost.
Yeah. In 1917, writers Ben Hecht and Maxwell Bodenheim hosted the shortest known debate in history. The topic was this: resolved that people who attend library debates are imbeciles. I don't get that one. Wrigley Field's original name was?
I can't remember. Ricketts Field.
No.
I have no idea.
Wigham Park. Weeghman, Weegham Park. I'm guessing named after
Chief Weegham.
Chief Weegham from The Simpsons. In 1927, Chicago bootlegger Al Capone made nearly $60 million selling illegal hooch.
In what year was that? Because $60 million.
Now, I'm curious as to whether it was $60 million in 1927 dollars or in today's dollars. Because, boy, that's an insane amount of money regardless. But if that's $60 million in 1927 money, that would make him probably one of the wealthiest men in the world, wouldn't it?
That's probably worth well over $150 million dollars today.
Oh, way more.
What was the biggest contributor to bootlegging?
You mean other than just whiskey?
Video poker.
No, Wendy, they didn't have that yet. The biggest reason for the rise of organized crime and bootlegging, etc.,
is
prohibition.
Oh, yeah, well, sure, yeah. There would have to be. It's the only way you could get it.
Like,
even before Al Capone's activities, the city had a reputation for crime. Luckily, that reputation is no longer intact. In 1918... Wow, was I off on that? Over 100 waiters were arrested for poisoning tippers. Really?
Cheap tippers?
I guess so. I would hope so. I would imagine.
Hope so.
In the 19... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, what? Listen to this. This is a story I heard. I never knew if it was true or not. Sometime during the 1850s, the entire city of Chicago was hydraulically raised several feet in order to fix a drainage problem. Could that be true?
What year was this?
In the 1850s.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Could that be true, that they raised the whole city?
Believe it or
don't. I don't know if I believe it.
Well, another trivial fact is that a lot of this side of the city was filled in and reclaimed from Lake Michigan.
I knew that. I've seen maps
you
that show the differences.
You guys are out Chicago-ing each
We're
other.
Not trying to, Wendy. We're not
We're
trying
really
to.
Not.
All right, we have more of these. Oh.
This is our special one. Skip Haynes, remember?
Yeah.
The late greats.
Yeah.
There's a road I'd like to tell you about. Lives in my hometown. Lakeshore Drive and Road is called, and it'll take you up or down. From rats on up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way help you right on by.
He says rags to riches, right? Is it rats to riches or rags to riches?
Rags to riches.
Rags to riches.
I just want to get to one part.
Okay.
There ain't no road just like it. Anywhere I found. We're running south with Bill and Wendy. Getting into town. Just slipping on by with Bill and Wendy. Crying out.
That's what catapulted this to number one, when he changed the lyric to put our names in there.
I'm honored.
I am too.
That done. That's very nice. Skip the late great.
All right, more of these insane facts about the city of Chicago on its birthday coming up right after this.
Thank you. It's my kind of town.
It is. Chicago,
Stinky
it's their birthday.
Is.
No, they wouldn't put that in a song, Wendy. That's not pleasant. Happy birthday to you, city of Chicago. You look marvelous. You look fantastic. Never seen a city look better. Did you know that in 1930, a certain snack food was invented here in Chicago? In 1930,
Twinkie?
It became an international sensation. Yes, the Twinkie.
Really?
Well done.
Somebody says that they use orange dye to dye the river green, which is weird.
I believe they would use green dye.
No. Nope.
I'm no dye expert, but why would you use orange dye to make it green?
Because orange and green is brown.
It's ugly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Rebuilding after the Great Chicago Fire in 1871 was swift and legendary. It says rubble and ash were pushed into the lake to make new neighborhoods. That's kind of what David was talking about, how we reshifted the landmass.
Rubble and ash, weren't they a morning show?
Yeah, rubble and ash. It was Barney Rubble and Ashford and Ashford and Simpson.
I don't think so.
They were great. Chicago banned pay toilets in 1973. The only place I remember there being pay toilets was at the airport, but I think they had those after 1973, I think.
They're pay toilets?
Yeah, they used to have pay toilets in places. That's fun. The World's Fair, or as we also call it, the Columbian Exposition of 1893, saw its share of impressive feats and small oddities. For instance, they had a U.S. map that was made entirely out of pickles.
That's awesome.
I would travel a million miles to see that. A suspension bridge that was made of soap. And also the very first Ferris wheel.
The very first ever was here.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Yep. It's also, I'm sure you've heard of Pabst Blue Ribbon. It is where Pabst won its infamous Blue Ribbon that has been always the name on the beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's because it was named the best beer in 1893 here in Chicago.
How come I didn't know that?
Oh, yeah, it's famous.
And PBR has made a resurgence just about, what,
huge
10
resurgence.
Years ago?
Yeah, gigantic.
It's good.
Bavarian Anton, can I say this
Pretzel.
Word? Can I say this word on the air? I don't think I can.
Change it a little. Yeah, you can. It's a name.
Fuchwanger.
You changed it a lot.
Couldn't convince fairgoers to eat his sausages, and so he served them on a bun, thus giving birth to the hot dog.
Really?
That's what it says here on the fun facts page, Wendy. I don't
beginnings.
Know. A massive city of 200 buildings was created from the ground up for the World's Fair. It was meant to be temporary, however, and only two of those original structures remain today.
What are they?
It doesn't say here. I would put that in the story, but they left it out for some reason. But that would be good to know. You don't take the subway in Chicago, Wendy. It says here you take the, in quotes, L. This is the name of the city's rapid transit rail system. I don't know what L stands for.
Elevated transit.
I know. It says
I'm like, what, did they leave that out too?
No, they didn't leave that out. Tall building construction was invented here in Chicago, and the city is known as the home of the skyscraper.
It is not.
It says, don't you tell people that? Where do you live, ma'am? I live in the
home of the skyscraper,
or Chi-Town, as we call it on pizza commercials. It currently has four of the country's 10 tallest buildings. Now, this is another place where I would name all four in the story, but they, for some reason, didn't think that was important. But it's got to be... It's Willis Tower.
Yeah.
Right? It's the Hancock Building. It's the Standard Oil Building. And Portillo's. Those are your four. Be careful parking here in the Windy City, it says, Wendy, in the Windy City. Jennifer Fitzgerald left her car at O'Hare International Airport for a few years and received a bill for $105,000 as a fine.
At that point, you just say, keep the car.
Keep the car. It's not worth it. How did she leave it there for a couple of years? What's the backstory there? Did she forget?
Whoever's writing the story is
leaving
a lot
major,
of stuff out.
Yeah, major, major parts of the story. In 1902, an elephant named Alice at the Lincoln Park Zoo fell ill. The zookeepers.
The great zookeeper.
The great zookeeper. Zookeepers gave Alice the elephant whiskey as a pick-me-up.
Oh.
It says here, unfortunately, it turned her into an alcoholic.
That is not true.
That's what it says on the fun facts page.
Alice still never forgets.
No, it's true.
We were asking about which buildings are still standing from the
Columbia Exposition.
And Leslie, you know one of them?
Yeah, the Museum of Science and Industry is one of them.
That is definitely true. It says from the time the fair closed until 1920, the Palace of Fine Arts housed the Field Columbian Museum, which is now the Field Museum of Natural History, since relocated. So that is...
So the building existed, but it didn't exist where it is right now.
And the Palace building reopened as the Museum of Science and Industry. That's the only major building remaining from the World's Fair of 1893.
Right.
Pretty awesome. Excellent. That you know that.
How do you know? Why do you know that?
I know. I've just taken a lot of field trips there. You know, I've been a teacher, and I just kind of learned it at one point.
That's excellent. Well, thanks for sharing it with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It says the second building, the World's Congress Building, was one of the few buildings not built in Jackson Park. It was built downtown in Grant Park.
There's some
the
building.
Art Institute took possession of it,
oh,
so that
Institute
is another did? Structure.
There's some building in the city that I used to pass when I was taking the train in, And it's mentioned in Devil in the White City, and there was a bar in there. I don't think it's there anymore. I don't think. Called either, was it called Burnham or something like the Burnham Bar or something like that, paying tribute to Mr. Burnham, who helped design most of the city at the time. But they said that that structure was still in place from the Devil in the White City. So, you know, they're scattered around the city, but those older buildings still certainly do exist.
I can't find that.
Oh, and somebody else, Wendy, can address why the river is using orange dye.
Someone had texted us that they use orange dye to make the Green River greener. Diane, you know about this?
I know for a fact that it is orange before it hits the water. My family has been involved with dyeing the river green since the original Mayor Daley started it, because my father-in-law happened to be captain of the police boats at the time.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah. God rest his soul. And so he was the first person on the boat that was helping to dye the river green.
Do we know why it's orange instead of green dye? Makes sense.
No, we don't. It has something to do with the plumbers who actually are, you know, they're the ones who more or less started with dyeing the river. It has something to do with plumbing, and they use it to determine leaks in systems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's how it all started.
And I love watching when they do it, because they have the boat and you can see the orange, and then
it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Diane, thank you.
Cool.
Thank
you. You're very welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
The concoction is vegetable based, replacing the toxic fluorescein dye that the city formerly used to spot factories that were illegally dumping sewage into the river in the 1960s.
Wow.
So pretty much what she said.
Exactly what she
said.
It's
like they have that chemical, if you do something in a pool,
yeah,
the big arrows come out and it points to you.
Right.
Then you're shamed. It was the same kind of thing.
Same thing, exactly. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune stops by. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, we sing the praises of Zorn.
Hey, Eric Zorn is here. He's right there. Wendy, Eric Zorn.
Hey.
Hi, Eric.
March the 4th be with you.
March the 4th be with you, too.
And with your spirit. That's the new thing they say now. If you haven't been to Catholic Mass.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They changed it.
Yeah.
It'll do also with you.
Well, it was peace be with you and also with you.
Now it's and with your spirit.
Oh.
And I'm old school. I still kind of
say the old one.
Yeah.
They throw her out of church.
Oh,
get lost, old timer.
Now you're not allowed to improvise in that at all, right? You have to say what they tell you.
No, the Catholic Church is all about yes and, isn't it? Like,
yes,
it's all improv.
Yeah.
Do you take this, man?
Yeah, sure.
There's no laughter either.
No.
Actually, there is at our church. My priest is funny.
Is there?
Yeah, Greg's joke. Their sermon is sometimes pretty comedic.
Did you see like a Justice Kyle like Rodney Dangerfield?
No.
I want to tell you, folks.
Oh, this religion gets no respect. My mom used to tell me stories, and they would always start like this. She would always say, if you think church is boring now, and then she would tell us that
the way they
used to do it, it was in Latin, and the priest would always face away from the congregation, like it was all done toward...
Facing the altar?
Well, facing the crucifix.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to see his back. It was, you know, so anytime a story would start out with, if you think church is boring now, my brother and I would go, here we go.
And we had to go to church. We had to go barefoot to the church.
It was a 5-hour celebration. We did it 5 days a week.
And we liked it.
We enjoyed it. Several things to discuss with you. Do you want to start out with politics or with tweets? What's better for you?
Let's start with the best tweets.
All right.
I like to do, you know, every month.
Get
the fun stuff out of the way. every week I curate some tweets for a Twitter poll, and then I come in here and I debut the 10 best from the previous month on the Bill and Wendy show.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy it. It's internationally anticipated.
It's fun.
You know, I just got to interrupt. I did a column yesterday about name tags.
Yeah.
And, you know, about whether you should use somebody's name on a name tag. And I put in there a line like, this is the most important issue that I can think of going on in the globe right now. You know, it was just a little break from politics. And somebody wrote to me like, I can't believe you said that.
There's so many things going
on here. And you think that this is the most important issue in the world. I really don't understand that. So,
well,
people do take that so
for
seriously.
Just a second. Wendy and I talked about this about a month and a half ago, that if you're in a restaurant and somebody has, you know, that their name is Mark.
Yeah.
Why not call them Mark? But as we read, there was an article saying, no, that's the worst thing you can do. They're being demeaned if you're using their name. But I don't
see it. No, they're not.
I don't think they are.
This interests me. I found a passage in a book about a guy who wrote his memoir of working in the hotel industry. And he said that if you have to wear your first name on the tag and people address you by that name, it's infantilizing. It's a little condescending. Mm-hmm. When they don't know your name and you're using their name, it creates a sort of asymmetrical social situation.
Then don't wear a name tag.
Well, you have to for a lot of jobs. That's the thing.
Then cover it up with pretty little puffy stickers,
or use a pseudonym. And I know that I notice that I never do that when I see someone like at the grocery store, bagging the groceries or checking out. I never use their name. I feel presumptuous to me.
I do all the time.
You do all the time. See, always. And someone said that may be the difference between someone who's really extroverted. And Bill seems extroverted. Would you say?
And yes, and I think you are too.
A little bit more introverted. I don't know. And so I took a poll on Twitter. I asked people, and about a quarter of the people said they liked it.
Yeah,
employees who had to wear name tags. A quarter of the people said they didn't like it, and half were indifferent. So you take a 1 in 4 chance. And you say, hey, Charlie, thanks for bagging my groceries. He'll go, Bill left.
I wish we all had to wear name tags like forever.
Do you?
Yeah, because
the older you get.
Yes. I mean, I brought this up before. It's like if your kids are in Little League together and you haven't seen the mom in like 4 years, but you were kind of tight with them and you don't remember their name, you can't just go, what was your name again?
Hey, you. You just hope somebody comes up and you go, you guys must know each other, and they introduce each other.
Women's version of it is, hey, you. Guy's version of it is, there he is.
Hey.
Anytime somebody says, there he is,
hey,
I go,
Judge.
That guy does
hey,
not
pal.
Know my name.
Ours is, hey, chief. Woman.
Oh. Hey, chief, how you doing?
Yeah.
SNL just did a really funny sketch on this.
What's my name?
Yeah. What's my name? That was great.
That was super funny.
That whole Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a solid
week. If
you
DVR'd that, it was just about.
Come back, Bill Hader.
Yeah. Oh, that was really wonderful.
But anyway, there's people you know by association. Like in the scene, it was the boss's wife. So you've seen her at family gatherings.
The bridesmaids in your wife's wedding party. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
In your wife's wedding party. It's your wedding party too, Eric.
Well, it's your wife.
Well,
I stepped into there, didn't
I?
But it's
your
her,
wedding party.
It's her division of the wedding party.
Right.
You know. Sometimes there's a groom's person in the bridal party, though.
There is. That's right. That does happen. Those modern kids. When we were kids.
Right.
All the groomsmen and bridesmaids faced away from
and they did it in Latin.
It was all in Latin.
The wedding was in Latin.
And we liked it. It went on for 5 hours.
What are some of the tweets?
Tweets of the month. Tweets of the month, yes. And the Jasmine will have this linked off the page, Bill and Wendy page. She knows where it is.
Along with the authors, so I don't
ruin the rhythm of reading them. But
please, everybody, hold your applause until all the tweets have been read.
Does Superman ever go back to get his clothes, or is Metropolis just full of hobos running around in glasses and Clark Kent outfits?
What a great question.
I know, I love that. Driver's Ed, 10 and 2. Real life, 7 and French fries.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Very funny.
I hate Valentine's Day, but I do enjoy infant archery.
Cupid. Is it the cherub?
Yeah, the cherub.
With the bow and the arrow?
Cupid.
The easiest way to get your husband to stop snoring is to keep rolling him over ever so gently until he crashes to the floor. No tequila was used in making my margarita pizza, which is why I have trust issues.
It is disappointing if you're a margarita fan to order margarita pizza and have no hint of lime whatsoever.
No salt on the edge.
It's not the way it should be.
It's outrageous. For birth control, we use the Eurythmics method.
Oh, boy.
That's where I do the robot to Sweet Dreams, which quickly puts my wife out of the mood.
That's very funny.
The Ugly Duckling is my favorite story about how everything is okay as long as you eventually become hot. The moral of that story is pretty bad, isn't it?
Sometimes if you study those stories that have been around forever, you realize that the intentions were good, but it doesn't quite work.
It does not work, right. It doesn't work. On your deathbed, tell everyone, pray for me. Then make sure to leave a note to be opened after you die that says, pray harder next time. Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Feed a man to the fishes and you'll never have to share your food again.
That's mean.
A lot of these are very violent.
Cruel.
Yeah.
If I'm ever abducted or go missing, simply tell my kids, Mommy just needs 5 minutes to herself. They'll find me. They always find me. So those are the top.
Those are great.
Those are
very, very
10.
Funny.
Like this,
so. All right, we'll take a break and then more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Anything happening politically, Eric? Anything?
Well, there was this mayor's race last week.
When was that? Last week?
That was Tuesday night. Hmm. I was here all night with Justin and Patty.
You put in some time, didn't you?
It was fun. Yeah, Justin had some good panels, and we just yacked. There wasn't a whole lot. There was only a couple of races that were interesting to talk about. Well, we managed to just keep talking about them, so it was pretty.
Did you think that Lori Lightfoot would end up in the number one spot?
I did. Well, and
did you?
I predicted Lori Lightfoot and Susana Mendoza. Now that. You say, well, boy, he picked Lori Lightfoot. No, but not that many people did. But Susana Mendoza got crushed.
Yeah, big time.
So I can't really pretend to be a soothsayer on this.
Unless she is an amazing actress, she didn't seem that upset when it was over.
I think she's probably an amazing actress. I'll bet that was really hard for her.
And she didn't fare well.
It wasn't like she didn't just lose. She got beaten by Willie Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think she may have been beaten by Amara Enya, but I'm not positive about that. I don't remember. It doesn't really matter down there, does it? But the thing that I wrote about on Friday, I did a column on Friday where I sort of dissected how Alderman Burke won his ward,
even big time.
Yeah, and how he did it, and basically he went into there's four precincts on the far west edge of his ward, and he got the turnout to be up about over 50%.
Yeah,
and the rest of the ward was about 30%, and this ward went heavily. These precincts went heavily for him, and that's where the margin of victory was from. Got him over 50%. I mean, he was an old style politician.
Sales tactic in convincing them.
Well, aldermen are like little mini mayors of their wards.
Yeah,
so they handle all kinds of things that people like their legislator to agree with them on, like the big issues, but really they want to make sure that their alleys are paved and their garbage gets picked up,
right,
and that the street lights are working and that kind of thing. And Burke is a veteran alderman. He's good at that stuff. And so when it comes to services, I think people looked at that and said, do we really want to take a chance with some new person, or do we want this guy who's going to get the things done that we want done? Yeah, he's under indictment, but boys will be boys. That's the only thing I can think of.
Isn't that a hard thing, though, to overlook, you would think?
You would think.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't for them. I don't know that Burke is going to survive this term. I think he's likely to. He's criminally charged. He hasn't been indicted yet. He's probably going to be indicted by the feds. Probably then going to have to go to trial. If he's convicted, he loses his office. So
yeah.
Still a winner.
So I did this column. At the end of the column, I added this thing that I'd noticed with Lori Lightfoot, which is that whenever she talks, she uses the word frankly all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She had an interview on Channel 11 on Wednesday night with Carol Marine, and she used the word frankly 15 times in 13 minutes. She's
that's a bit.
We're running against the machine, and frankly, it's going to be this, and frankly this, and frankly that. And it was really, my wife and I were watching, and we're both like, what's with a frankly? And it's one of those words that politicians just get used to using because I think it makes them sound more honest, more genuine, whatever. But after a while, it becomes so distracting that you almost can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
So I did this little column item, and that got way more attention than what I wrote about Alderman Burke. People were accusing me of being, getting into trivialities. Like the serious mayor's race coming up April 2nd, this election, in the runoff with Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot on April 2nd. They're saying, you're going into this utterly trivial issue. And I embrace that because I'm the guy in 1995 who wrote an entire column on how bad Al Gore is at clapping. You ever notice how Al Gore claps?
No,
I know this is radio, but he pounds his palms together like a little child clapping.
Oh.
And he keeps his fingers straight. So if you imagine like a toddler just getting this fine motor
just
skills,
just learning to clap and not quite getting it right.
And everybody else, you clap, you make it anyway.
Nancy Pelosi does like a Garfield goose clap.
She was just being sarcastic.
That's a sarcastic clap.
So I have a history of finding these small trivial matters and obsessing over them. It's what I do. It's my brand.
I like it.
Thank you.
So in your opinion, is she using frankly as, a lot of people have like this verbal thing where you need a half a second to just think up your new thought. So you say frankly as like a time filler while you're thinking. Is that what it is?
Well, President Obama used a lot. He would say, and that got to be, I was calling him President Obama for a while. It was really distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Preckwinkle has an extreme weakness for And people were picking on, people are picking on me for Tony Preckwinkle, for Lightfoot. And so then I came back on Sunday and I pointed out that in the follow-up interview with TTW, Tony Preckwinkle used "you know" 24 times in 14 minutes.
Wow.
So she has a real weakness for that, and she has a weakness for starting off her answers with "you know." So you ask a question like, what do you think that we're going to be doing with police department? She said, well, you know, we need this, and go on. And something that it's not as noticeable as frankly, because it does just slip right in almost
Do silently. You know what the word of the last 3 or 4 years is, the new sentence starter for almost everybody?
So.
And that's another one that and it's there's something about that that I think is somewhat millennial, maybe, that it's a
it
younger, and it has to do with...
Listen to your grandpas.
It is.
Kids these days. No, but they're so... politicians would use the term at the end of the day, which mm-hmm. would be something they would just throw that in. Now, not quite as frequently as frankly.
At the end of the day and brings to the table. They would say, you're going to hear that all day long.
Another one would be, I mean. People say, I mean, a mm-hmm. lot. And yeah. I would think that in radio, you would be... really
I say all the time, and I get texters saying, "Yeah, we should play a drinking game."
Do they call you into the office? Does Todd call you into the office and go, "One more, Wendy"?
No. He hasn't yet. He probably will today. Thanks, Eric.
I like when politicians, and it's not 100% politicians, but politicians tend to do this more than anyone else. They ask themselves questions that nobody else has asked. Am I going to be good for the city? Am I going to make Chicago the best city that it's ever been? Right. Are we going to look toward the... you know, it's all those, and you go, wait, no,
who's
asking? Nobody
asked
those questions.
Or they do,
you
or they do it in the third person. Is Lori Lightfoot right. going to be the best person running
That happens
city?
A bit.
There was a poll that came out this morning that shows that she's way out in front of Tony
Preckwinkle.
Yes, it was like 58 to 34.
Why do you think that would be?
Our What's dancing dude.
I think what we saw in this election was, at least in part, a real desire for some change. That Amar Enya did better than I thought she was going to do. Lori Lightfoot is just a new face on the scene. She is very smart. You guys interviewed her yet?
No.
She's very impressive.
Is she?
And she's a new voice.
And she's still working. She's got a job. You'll still hear about her and see her, right?
Well, if she goes away, you mean she loses? Lori Lightfoot?
No.
Preckwinkle.
We're getting some terrible news. I'm sorry I'm interrupting.
No. Wait, what happened?
Some terrible news. TMZ is reporting then that Luke Perry has passed away.
Oh, no.
ABC has also confirmed it. So it's not just the it's not just the TMZ story
at
now.
52 years old.
Yeah, sorry. I don't mean to step on your lead there, David, but
obviously related to the stroke he suffered late last week, obviously.
He never recovered.
He didn't.
From massive
that's
stroke.
That's horrible, horrible.
That is so young.
Wow.
Sorry, I needed to get that out there.
No, that's all right, All right, Eric, go back to your thoughts.
Well, I was just saying that I think that Tony Preckwinkle has a lot to be, has a lot of credentials, a lot to talk about in her record. She's going hard negative after Lori Lightfoot, her early ads.
She is, isn't she?
She's our corporate lawyer.
Did you expect that from her or not expect that from her?
I think she probably sees in some of this polling that Lightfoot is the shiny new object in city politics and that voters are just looking for a change. The rejection of Bill Daley surprised a lot of
that
people.
That shocked me.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that he was going to be him and Tony Preckwinkle in the final. And I had talked to a lot of people I'm in northwest side of Chicago, a lot of my neighbors, a lot of my friends, and I didn't know anybody voting for Daley. They all had the same reaction that I did, which is like, enough of that family already.
Really?
Since 1955, like more than two-thirds of the time we've had Mayor Daley, and a lot of the problems that we're dealing with now, the parking meter franchise and so on, the huge pension debt, those are the footsteps of Rich Daley, Bill Daley's older brother. And it was a Jeb Bush situation.
But you've heard that in recent times, people have said that of the Clintons, they have said that of the Bushes, to some extent the Kennedys. So are those days gone of a family just kind of dominating
look at
politics?
Chris Kennedy lost pretty significantly in the Democratic gubernatorial primary a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think that was the fact that family just doesn't have a hold on this country anymore that it used to. I mean, the Camelot ended almost
a while ago.
55 years ago, something like that, 56 years ago.
Yep.
So you have that situation going. But I do think that that voters often are looking for change. And I think Lori Lightfoot is going to be able to make that case.
Yeah.
She's going to get hammered. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be 4 weeks of ugliness. I will say this. I think I kind of like that it's only 4 weeks, that it fixes our minds. These incredibly long presidential campaigns that we have, at some point you just get so sick of it. And we'll have a chance to get sick of this campaign, but it'll be over quickly.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Coming up, the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.